Here's a question for you. And I did mention a little earlier on that because of the time of the year that it is, there may be young ears listening to this, and it's entirely up to yourself whether you allow those younger listeners to listen in or not. Can a 15-second incident that happened to an 11-year-old altar boy in his parents' bedroom a half a century ago forever change the course of his life and the trusting relationship that he had with his two fathers, his biological one and the beloved parish priest who sexually molested him? Let's find out. A new book called My Father's Letters of Healing on a Quest for the Truth, written by Len Prezik. I didn't get it right earlier, but I'm getting it right now. Len, good afternoon and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good afternoon, Gareth. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Very good.
Pleasure to talk to you. We were talking during the ad break after we had connected online, and I was saying to you that it's a difficult subject to talk about. It's a difficult subject for you to write about and live with. Tell us where it started.
How do we start that? By agreeing that it is a difficult subject and it should be spoken about. It's easy enough to sweep it under the rug, but it is that kind of behavior and messaging that has in part created the crisis that we had and we still have to some extent. For me, it was part of my grieving process. I had lost my father recently, and I am a writer by trade and like to journal. So this came off as, I'm missing dad. What am I talking about? And I decided to write a letter. And dear dad, and the words started pouring out. Very generally at first, I miss you. It's been a while. I remember this. Do you remember that? And obviously he's never going to read these letters, which created another level of freedom for me to begin to explore. So that was light on my side. So that's how it started. But once I found that I had the voice and the platform for it, the rest of these stories and memories came rolling back easier and easier.
So do I take it from that whatever happened in your parents' bedroom 50 years ago or almost half a century ago, you've never spoken to anybody about?
Well, I have attempted to speak to people about it, and that is part of my quest and a part of my trauma. The event happened. I said something to my mother. I got out of the bed, woke my mother immediately. She said, okay, put me back in bed. I went to sleep, and that is the last I saw or heard of our beloved parish priest. And in the morning when I asked my mother, nothing happened. Don't worry. It must have been a dream. Everything's okay. But I knew it wasn't. And what did I say? What did this 11-year-old boy say or do that made a priest disappear? And then this began the quest for what happened. So I didn't get a direct answer from my parents, nor was I going to get one from the church. So thus began my own personal search for the truth.
So what you're trying to find out is what happened to the priest after after this incident, not what happened in the bedroom, because you're only too well aware. Sometimes, and I have spoken to people in the past that have had situations like this, and they block it out, and that's a regular occurrence, as you probably know. So now I'm clear on what you're looking for. And in the letter to, or the letters to your dad, following and sympathies on his passing, following his passing, how did these, is this where the questions manifested themselves, and where did you take them after that?
Question after question manifested themselves, but I was constantly met by, we don't talk about that. That didn't happen. That priest would never do this. Questions that would gaslight me essentially into being quiet. because that's what we did. We knew this was going on. I mean, I was too young to realize it was going on to the extent that it was going on in the early 70s. But of course, nobody was going to talk about it. So when the priest was not there, when we got back from summer vacation, what happened? Oh, he just got transferred to another church. Maybe. We didn't know. But for me, the frustration came after not getting any answers. So you keep asking, you keep asking, you keep asking, and you're met with no, no, no. And okay, I get it. You don't want to talk about it. But this is my point of writing this. These are the very things we must talk about. Had they shared that with me that morning after, saying, this happened, it was a bad thing, it'll never happen again, it's gone, I might have been okay. But
was that how we dealt with things 50 years ago, though? Nowadays, yeah, you know, there would be a queue of psychologists and other people to help. But in those days, if we tell him it doesn't exist and if he hears it often enough, then he will forget about it. It will go away into the back of his head and he will just keep on going. And there was probably an element of love and comfort and trying to protect you in that, even though it was the wrong thing to do, we know now.
Sure. And I imagine, I can only imagine what they were going through. And part of the writing helped me to understand and perhaps be more compassionate with what they were dealing with. It wasn't a deliberate event. I know Dad didn't set this up for this to happen on purpose. They probably felt horrible about it. But then it became a situation of, okay, so now what? Now that we know this, are we going to take it to the church? I imagine they did. And I can only speculate as to what that meeting might have looked like. Mom was pretty aggressive and she would have been my protector. So I don't know what the deal was, because I imagine there's a deal. There's always a deal. This was the time where you sign this paper. Nobody says anything. You take this money and
the problem is moved down the line. Yep. Yeah, okay. Is your mom still alive?
No, both have passed.
Okay.
That was one of the questions that I might have gotten. I'm thinking, as they are aging, both have passed in the last 3 years. Mom went first, thinking that they might have confessed if they knew or even if they remembered. Just to give me the satisfaction, like, Lenny, you've been asking me the same question for 50 years. Let me give you the answer. I'm going to die soon. I did not get that, unfortunately. Mom passed. Then Dad was in a period of serious grieving. I wasn't going to get an apology. He was in his own grief. And they both died taking the secrets to their graves.
How did that affect your relationship with both of them?
My father more, because he was central to the story. He was a very pious man. He was a very good man. So to have a priest in our home for a dinner, and they weren't drinkers, and alcohol was a big taboo in our house. But on that rare occasion when your parish priest joined you with your family for dinner, that was reason enough to take down the bottle.
Yeah,
and have a sip. And I can understand how that happened. But afterwards, Dad feeling probably more guilty and not being able to admit to that guilt. And once the deal was made with the church, whatever that deal was, that prevented him from being fully truthful with me, which I took special exception and resentment with, even though he continued to support the church, go to church. And even when the stories in the early 90s started coming out of all this abuse, didn't want to hear it, didn't want to acknowledge it, couldn't address it. So that created a little rift in our relationship, philosophically speaking, as it came to the church.
Having written these letters to your dad, your late dad, how is your relationship with him now?
Well, I feel at peace with him. Well, good. First, because he's deceased, it's helpful. But I came to a more fuller understanding of his situation, young parent dealing with a situation of sexual abuse and crisis. They did what they could with that. So I feel I've gotten more compassion when I knew more about him, as I usually do when I'm speaking with people who have had abuse or tell me about their abuse. As horrible as that is, I think about, what were your parents like? What did your parents go through to make them the way they were, or to abuse you that way? So when I started digging into my father's past, I realized and discovered that he was the son of a father who committed suicide. He happened to witness his father's suicide at age 12.
Oh.
So knowing that and thinking about that in your head, imagine losing your father at age 12 to suicide. There goes your paternal mm-hmm. role model. Where do you go from there? My father, you know, so he did the best he could, as did my mother. They were through very traumatic childhoods and, you know, suicide being one of those things. But that allowed me to understand and be a little more compassionate about him and his feeling toward his son. So that helped in that regard.
Without giving away too much, unless you want to, have you found out what happened? No.
No, I have not. The quest still continues. And hence, I had to end this book and these letters with the information that I had at the time. So I've also realized that I don't necessarily have to know what happened. I mean, sometimes we have to live with the truth and the fact that we may never know the truth. And you have to be okay with that. What I am doing now is I'd recently filed a complaint with the police department, and at the guidance of one of my mentors, I didn't know I can file a claim 50 years after an event happened, but the police honored my claim. There are no other witnesses to my event. Mm-hmm. So that's a challenge. Part of what I'm doing is on the social media component and radio shows is asking if anyone else was abused by Father Duncanson at St. Henry's Church in 1970 or in any other church before or after that. I'd like to know, because one, it verifies my claim that he was a credible threat. And while I'm not interested in any kind of civil or criminal gains, I'm not suing the church. I have no interest in doing any of that. Other people may have a claim.
Just for legal purposes, can I just include the word alleged there? I know alleged. You know what yes. happened, but again, these are allegations, and just to keep everything square yeah. legally, and that's the frustrating thing about doing something like this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that priest? Do you know, is he alive or dead? Is, you know, do you know anything?
Yes, we believe, and this is with the help of our my police detective and my mentor, who has access to some research. If it is the same person that we think it is, that he is deceased, that he died in 1979, that his time at my parish was the last that he could be identified as being active in the priesthood. So maybe it was my standing up and saying something that was his last chance, that his parish was his last chance. I have also found out from the police that he has a voluminous record at previous parishes, which now starts to make sense, because the role of the bishops and the archdiocese is to find an offending priest. He gets moved to another parish. They scrub his record where he becomes free to do mm-hmm. what he does all over again.
Okay.
So we do have some information on him, and we're trying to get him on the bishopaccountability.org website, where they have the identified priests. So if somebody, again, was reluctant to come forward and announce that they were abused, they could go to the website, perhaps see the photo
that their abuser will be there,
see where he was, see where the claims were, and add their names to that list and identify him and perhaps seek their justice.
Writing letters to your deceased father, you know you're not going to get an answer, which you mentioned earlier, nor would he ever see them. Have you written to that priest?
Yes, there is one priest, one letter to the priest at the end of this book. So there are probably, you know, 12 to 15 letters to Dad. And the last letter is to my priest, Father Duncanson. A little shorter and to the point, only because I did not have the history with him that I had with my father. But certainly there would be things I'd like to say. Mm-hmm. And I won't give you the spoiler alert.
No.
Read the book. And I am donating a portion of the proceeds of the book back to the SNAP organization. It's the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, who are doing tremendous work here. I know in the United States, I don't know about around the world, but all every area has an organization of support for that. And I'm trying to encourage help there and whatever I can contribute to their cause.
Good. How are you now?
I'm fine. I feel after years of, it have been some years of therapy and challenging, but now talking about it seems to have a healing component. If someone comes up to me and says, I read your book and it inspired me to talk to my father, to talk to my mother, to talk to my children about things, I feel like that's a win. Feel like I'm in a pretty good spot. I'm 65 now, retirement age, but now I feel like I'm just getting started with the writing and the publishing career, because I plan to publish the rest of the quest when I get the answers, whatever those answers are, you know, the result of this criminal civil investigation, whatever that turns out to be, and what I'm discovering along the way.
All right. So. It sounds like a fascinating read. I'm looking forward to reading it. Our listeners can get their hands on it by going to our website, which is tre.radio. We have a virtual bookstore there. I know that it has been available since September of last year. How has it been going for you?
Starting to pick up again, as I mentioned, the more I talk about it, the more awareness there is of it. I'm on social media. I don't know if you have the link to it on your website, the link that goes to lenprasic.com.
I'm not sure what link is there, but I know Julie has it set up for us so that it will whip up. But, yeah. But give me your website address anyway.
It is my name, lenprasic.com. That takes you right to my page, lenprasych.com. Takes you directly to my author's page where you can order a copy on Amazon.
Perfect. Yep, that'll link with what we're doing on it as well.
Yeah. All right. If you want to contact me specifically, there's a place to reach out to me with either a message or a thought or a request for me to sign your book if you'd like that. I'm happy to send you a book.
Great stuff. All right, Len, it's a difficult story, but it's a story that you have come through very well, and you have started something that is helping you and helping others, which is great. I wish you continued success with your journey to find the truth of what exactly happened. And thanks a million for sharing your story with us this afternoon on the program.
Thank you so much, Gar. Really appreciate it.
Not at all. Delighted to talk to you.